Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Winter is coming.
The Lannisters send their regards.
I drink, and I know things.
Dracarys.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
For the night is dark and full of terrors.
When you play the Game of Thrones, you win, or you die. There is no middle ground.
So dramatic. Last night was the night that many Game of Thrones fans had been eagerly awaiting. Now, we established last week that I don't know that much. Okay, I don't know anything about the plot of Game of Thrones, but you know what? I have eyes, and I can see, anyone can see, the show's look, its tone, its art direction is really incredible, and there are cultural references brought to life. So yeah, while fans may know everything about every character, they likely know nothing, Jon Snow, about the incredible crew that worked behind the scenes to make this show such an incredible success. So in celebration of the final season, we thought we would highlight some of the talent behind the camera in a series we're calling Behind the Thrones. Each week we'll speak to someone from the crew who work on the show about how they make great Game of Thrones such a sensation. This Monday, our guest is Deborah Riley, who served as the show's production designer from 2014 to the final episode. Deborah is the mind behind some of the most memorable sets in the series, from the throne room in Meereen. You're going to have to help me out with some of the pronunciations,
Meereen.
Deborah. Meereen, thank you. To Dragonstone. And you created some of this from scratch. Is this true?
We did.
This final season, it has been reported that $90 million was available budget for the final six episodes. Deborah, welcome to all of it.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Yes, Game of Thrones is back.
So you, from everything I've read about you, you, quote, begged. You begged to be in this job. Is that true?
It was incredible because I'd gone through a long period of unemployment and I'd come to Los Angeles from Australia and I was really going through some tough times. And when I had the opportunity to interview for Game of Thrones, I just knew this was it. Like, my DNA was written all over it. So I did the thing that everybody tells you not to do. I begged them for the job. And I thought, if I can't do this, I really can't do anything. So I was so fortunate to become part of the team.
So it's the old saying, like, the dog that chases the car, and then you catch the car and you say, now what?
Exactly. Well, then I actually had to do
then
the job.
Then you have to do the job, right? So as you were thinking about it, where did you go to research? Where did you go for inspiration?
For me, I mean, it obviously all comes from the script. I mean, obviously what we're doing in the art department, as the production designer, you're the head of the art department. So you're responsible for the look and the feel of the show and the environments and the props that the actors hold in their hands. And so it's all about communicating the story. And so that would always come from our showrunners, David and Dan. And they would tell me, you know, the intention of the scene, if there was anything in particular that they wanted me to reference. But because I'd studied architecture, for me, my references are always the built environment. They always come from buildings and the places I've visited and all of the things that are around us that inspire us, that tell us something about the psychology of space.
So as you're, oh, that psychology of space, that's interesting.
Yeah.
How did you employ that in creating the sets when you think about this story and the psychology of space?
Well, it was interesting because every character has a very particular motivation in a scene. And so when we were telling the story of Daenerys, for instance, when it came to the Dragonstone audience chamber, which we established in season 7, that has a very strong attitude about it. It's a very uncompromising space, as she is an uncompromising character. And we had been able to explore various versions of this as we followed her journey. She first went into the Meereen audience chamber, mm-hmm. for instance, a few seasons before. And with that, we consciously made it the very opposite of the King's Landing throne room. In that King's Landing throne room, the throne itself occupies quite a small space and is in a big volume. Whereas in Meereen, we contrasted that by making the throne, which is actually just scripted as a bench, occupy a very big space, and the audience that visit the ruler have to look up at her. So it gives a totally different feeling of what this ruler stands for. So for us, that was something that I always really enjoyed playing with.
Psychology of space, that's fascinating. My guest is Deborah Riley. She's a production designer for Game of Thrones. Obviously, so much of this is fantasy. Is there any one environment you created, though, that really feels real to you, felt particularly real? Like, oh, I know we made this up, but...
Yeah, well, the funny thing for me is Westeros was real to me. In my head, it really had to be. Mm-hmm. And yes, technically it's fantasy, but for us, we never mentioned the word. We never said fantasy. We never said television. it didn't matter to us what size screen it was going to be seen on. And yes, there are dragons, yes, there are dire wolves, but the secret to the show, I think, is that it really had to feel real, because in order for you to believe in dragons, you really have to believe in the environment and the characters that inhabit that world. And I took that very seriously. So for me, I was referencing, for Marine, I was referencing Frank Lloyd Wright. Mm-hmm. For the Hall of Faces, for instance, I took that from some real-world buildings that I'd visited. The Hall of Faces was directly derived from the Temple of the 10,000 Buddhas in Hong Kong. I think the more real and realistic and sort of heavy you can make spaces feel, the more an audience will, believe in the story that you're trying to communicate.
What did you think when you heard what your budget would be for the final season?
Do you know, we never actually spoke about the budget either, to be honest. I wouldn't be able to tell you what the budget was for the final season at all. It's all about trying to work out and negotiate what we have to build in the time that we have, and then, trying to work out just what that was going to be, how big it needed to be, how it would service the story best. So the art department
That's
supplied
so unusual.
Numbers. Yes,
it's
I
so
know.
It's so unusual. What? Like, oh, you don't have a budgetary issue, but you have other challenges.
Oh, there were budgetary issues. It's just that they weren't the driving force. Like, okay. We never let money be the thing that made the immediate decision for us. You have to really credit the producers for that. It wasn't the first thing that came out of their mouths was, we cannot afford it. It was them, let's try and work it out another way, maybe. Or, it also became a function of time. We were on a television schedule. It had to happen more quickly. So that also was a function of, just what we could achieve in the given time that we had. So it was an extraordinary puzzle.
What was something that you created or you worked on during this whole process that really stretched you as an artist?
Do you know, season 8 was the breaking point, I think, for me. Season 8 was so big. And I know that from the fans' point of view, it's only 6 episodes. But from the crew's point of view, it represented so much more work than we'd ever done before. And what it meant for me is that I realized that the previous seasons that I'd been in the show, from season 4 onwards, was really just training to get me ready for season 8. Because it was just like running flat out all the time. And I felt like every single cell that I had been dedicated to the show, and I was exhausted by the end of it.
What was something that over the course of creating these environments that was easier than you thought? I mean, this is such a huge undertaking, but every once in a while you get these moments of, oh, that happened.
Yeah. And I mean, it sounds impossible, and certainly when you read the outlines and the scripts at the beginning of the season, on paper it is impossible. But when you break it all down and you just go through it methodically, mm-hmm. and you have really great people around you, it's amazing what can be achieved. So, for instance, when we were building out in Croatia, or when we were working in Spain, it doesn't seem logical that you can do the two things at the same time, be able to work abroad at the same time as you could be working in Northern Ireland, which was where I was based. But because of the amazing people that were around, it was actually much easier than you would ever imagine. And so that process was smoother than I ever would have thought possible.
My guest is Deborah Riley. She is Game of Thrones production designer. I want to ask you just a very nuts and bolts question. Can you walk us through, you get the script.
Yes.
And then what happens in your world?
So that's the very first thing that would happen. I would get an outline of the whole season. So I would understand the whole arc of the whole season and where the characters would be going and, the story that we were telling. And from there, the producers and I would then break down the script and work out what was assumed to be a location or what was assumed to be a studio build, which meant we would be at our home base in Belfast. If we were a location, we would work out whether that was going to be based in Iceland, Croatia or Spain, and whether we'd seen something before that would work or whether we would have to go and find somewhere new. And then we would take off on a scouting mission. And this was the best part of the whole year, where the three producers and I would go in and out of every castle in Spain, for instance. One year I had the pleasure of doing that. And we always refer to that as being the best thing we ever did, was just go on that trip and just check Spain out and know exactly what it had to offer us. And then it's a matter of coming back to Belfast and just starting from scratch, working out what the biggest sets were we would have to build, what required the most time versus what needed to be finished first. So dividing up the jobs in the art department and going from there, working out what the references need to be. And yeah, it was enormous, but we got it done.
What a puzzle. Before I let you go, is there something in season 8, some detail, some costume, some piece of a set that you would love for people to pay attention to or to look out for?
That's a tricky question. Season 8 is so... nobody's going to be looking at the sets in season 8. I can tell you that, firstly.
I don't know about that.
But, I think what's really wonderful is we managed to expand Winterfell. After we'd known Winterfell as a particular set for years and years, suddenly we were able to give it a lot more life. And I think for the fans of the show who've been with it all the way through, it will be great fun to be able to explore Winterfell further and see some other areas that we've never been able to see before.
Well, first of all, congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
And thank you so much for coming in. Deborah Riley, production designer for Game of Thrones. Coming up, Lake Bell, writer, director, actor, and voice actor. You get the idea. Lake will be in the studio after the break talking about her new show, Bless This Mess. You're listening to All of It on WNYC.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.